Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview. In his new book, The Power That Changes the World, Bill Johnson, who's the senior pastor of Bethel Church in Redding, California, what a great church, shares practical ways to release God's kingdom power in your everyday life. You know, every day we make choices that influence the culture around us. It's our choices that make the difference. We've been given the keys to unlock infinite change. By taking hold of God's power and God's wisdom, we'll live out the most undeniable demonstration of our heart, passion, and nature of God. We will touch and restore the hearts of individuals, cities, and nations. Discover how you can become heaven's agent of change and create eternal impact in the here and now in The Power That Changes the World by Bill Johnson. Here's that book again, The Power That Changes the World. The website, chosenbooks.com/power that changes. chosenbooks.com/power that changes. And now back to the podcast.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is a special podcast because I am literally today in Jerusalem, Israel. And I have as a guest a very special friend who is a very special leader. His name is Stephen Curry, and he pastors here in Jerusalem. So I say welcome to you, and just tell us a little bit about your ministry.
Thank you, Brother Steve. It's good to be with you on this podcast. We are an Arab ministry. The ministry was founded by my father back in 1978. It started in Bethlehem. From Bethlehem, it grew to Jerusalem. From Jerusalem, it grew to Jericho, and then to Jenin, to Gaza. I'm in partnering with other ministries in those kind of hostile areas. Today, I pastor in Jerusalem, but I also oversee 11 active ministries under our U.S. umbrella, which we founded. It's called Holy Land Missions. And our ministry is focused on preaching the gospel, evangelizing, and discipling new converts.
Let's start by talking about the whole situation between Arabs and Jews, which is very difficult, let's say. And a lot of the Christian Arabs are actually pro-Palestinian, but that's not your position, is it?
No, we don't believe in the replacement theology. We believe in God's everlasting covenant, which is a biblical covenant. So we're not politicians, we're biblicists. And it has put us in a very difficult position amongst the other evangelical movements and amongst the traditional Greek Orthodox and Catholic Church. So we are the minorities of the minorities.
And how have you been able to build this thriving congregation that I visited?
The way we're able to do what we do is, one, it's a lifestyle. Number two, we're committed. Number three, to us it's not a job, it's a calling. We're called to do it. Number four, we don't believe there's a limit to how much we can do for God. Meaning the amount of breakthrough and accomplishments and what we see, what we do, isn't leveled, or the red tape isn't placed by the world. We don't allow it to be placed by the world. We believe that we rise above it. And that's the philosophy that we carry, that we do things that nobody else is able to do, only simply because we believe that God is above everything.
All right. You know, I was able to visit your congregation, and I saw that you meet in the YWCA. And what part of Jerusalem is it in?
It's in the eastern part of Jerusalem, east part of Jerusalem, and Arab side.
Arab side. And so there, you were explaining to me the demographics of the area. What are they?
There's 300,000 Arabs. It's Jerusalem and the surrounding suburbs and village. At one given point, there's only room for 300 Christians to go to church. That just puts you in perspective of the demographics of the potential growth. So 300,000 Arabs approximately within Jerusalem and the surrounding villages. And at one given point, there's only a room for 300 Christians to go to pray.
And how are you saying that? Just the literal meeting places where
meeting
they can
places,
go?
The amount of ministries. So it shows us, number one, we need more churches. We need more evangelists. We need more lighthouses. And for me, a lighthouse is a human being being changed by Christ and a human being belonging to a family of Christ, a place that people know to. Middle Easterners are all about identity. Middle Easterners are about having a standing ground, a stepping stone in a community where you say that church is a church that's a lighthouse. That church loves the Muslims. That church loves the Jews. That church helps the poor. It's important to have the identity in the Middle East, and that's what I mean in practical sense.
All right, so of the 300 you're talking about, there's a couple other churches, are there?
Yes, there's a couple Arab, there's a few Arab ministries here. We are the largest Arab ministry in the eastern part of Jerusalem, and our church is in the West Bank. We are the largest Arab church in the whole West Bank. In Jerusalem, per se, we minister to the Arabs. We have some foreigners and a couple Messianics that go through our doors that visit us every now and then that want to come fellowship as Jewish believers in Christ, come to fellowship with an Arab believer. But we are based in Jerusalem with the goal of just being more than just a church. We are a multi-purpose worship center. We are a leadership training center. We're an evangelistic center. We have children's programs, youth outreaches, which unfortunately right now we have had to put a halt on all these for the last 5 months.
And the reason?
The reason is being a ministry that takes a stand for the gospel, you will alienate yourselves by most around you. So because of our strong evangelism, we have been either pushed around or kicked out or pushed out, or our arms have been twisted to be pushed out of rental properties. So since even earlier than 2014, when Calvary Church started, it's not Calvary Chapel, it's Calvary Church. We called it Calvary Church because the first one started around the corner from Calvary, the Golgotha, the place where the cross stood. Since then, we've pushed out of three different properties.
And why were you pushed out?
Because of our strong evangelism. So what they would do is they would throw rocks. They would vandalize. They would break windows. They would light up the entrance of the church in fire. They realized none of that is working from scaring us, from shutting down. In fact, it actually grew us because people were very intrigued by why would you get attacked. And so they would come to watch our service to say, what do we do that's different than other areas? So then they found our weak spot. If all this hasn't stopped us, then they came up with another idea, is we're always under the mercy of landlords. It's simple. They come into the landlord and they would say, if you don't kick him out, there will be problems, whether it be your building being burned down or you as a family, though those are renting to us, would have a problem in the community. And this has been told to me by several rental landlords that we're in from. So we were pushed out of our last location. We actually turned the keys in and said we're leaving because we were putting the owners in danger as well. So we left and we thought we'll just rent another place. This was back in August of 2014, like several months ago. Not one single person till today is willing to rent us a building that's appropriate. One or two options were given, but they don't work. They'll actually suffocate the ministry. So we decided that to go the next step. And the next step is to purchase a building.
And today, as we were visiting around in Jerusalem, you showed me the property. And so for those who are listening, why don't you describe? You've actually found a piece of property that you think is perfect.
We believe it's perfect. We think it's perfect. We know it's perfect. And we're just asking God to confirm that by bringing the resources for it. So let me tell you about the building, Brother Steve. Those are listening because you saw it today. It sits in an area that is half the community is traditional Christian. The other half of the community are Muslims. So the Christian, accepting a Christian entity in the community will be a lot easier than all of our previous rental properties. So the location is good. Number two, it sits in a location where Jews can walk within a five-minute difference. As I showed you, there's the Skat Ze'ev, which is a Jewish settlement. And then, of course, Arabs can walk to it as well because of where it sits. It sits on the edge of the city called Beit Hanina. Number three, the owner is willing to sell us, which is a miracle within itself. Number four, the owner is willing to sell it to a church, which is another big miracle. And the paper has a clean bill, the building. It is ready to move in as it is. We would just have to expand it and grow it and, you know, do remodeling as we grow into it. But it's ready to move in. And the things it has with it are things that are set for what we want to do.
So it's a beautiful building. It looked fairly new.
Yes.
Had a wall around it. You showed me there's some empty land next door that
comes
would be included, which would give you opportunities to expand. And right now you said that it actually has several apartments so that you could remodel the apartments into what you need for the church.
Yeah, we've had several apartments. It could be a library. It could be Sunday school classes. It could be classes for our leadership training, for our evangelism training. The bottom area can be opened to 3,900, 3,800 square foot. It'll be about 3,750.
And how many people could you put in there?
We can put in there seating, it'll be about 400 to 500 people, which is such a thing, such an evangelical thing does not exist in the Arab realm. There's something like that on the Messianic side, but not one single thing, not one single Arab evangelical place exists like this in the whole city of Jerusalem, even the surrounding villages, not one.
So what is keeping you from buying this property?
We need willing partners to help us with the cost of the building. The cost of the building that's hindering us right now from moving forward. So right now we're sitting ducks. 80% of our programs are on halt. We right now all we do is we meet 2 hours a week. We do house meetings, but that's not a common thing. We are asking Christians around the world to help us raise the needed resources so that we can make a down payment on the building, and then the rest can be paid off in four-year payments.
What is the owner asking?
The whole vision, the whole plan is a $4.5 million project, which includes the building, the land, the taxes, the fees, even some of the remodeling. It's all included within that $4.5 million project. We've raised $1.5 million through generous friends and partners and donors. We are asking the Lord for $3 million, whether it be in commitments or whether it be upfront, so we can begin to move in, and the owner is willing to do a four-year payment plan.
And what can people do who are listening?
Well, besides prayer, we ask those that are really interested, those that could possibly do something for us, we ask, invite them to come, maybe see the building, come see our ministry. For those that would like just to see this happen, we call it Save the Jerusalem Church Campaign. For those that really want to stand beside us, they can make a donation today. They can help us by visiting our website, which is holylandmissions.org. We are a nonprofit, 501c3, based in the U.S. We're a tax-exempt ministry in the U.S.
And so when is it that you have to get the money together for a down payment or to close on this property?
By the end of this month, we will sign a 60-day non-competing contract, which means he can't offer it for anybody else, and which means the price that we agree on cannot change. That will give me 60 days to come up with the rest of the money, whether it be in commitments or cash in hand, to make the down payment on the building, which is a $2 million down payment. And the rest, the other 2.5, can be paid over in a four-year payment plan. So we have 60, I would say about 65 days from today's interview to come up with commitments and or cash in hand with the rest of the money.
What do you think the future is here in Jerusalem? I mean, we read the news, we know about the unrest. Insofar as your ministry is concerned, what's the future? What difference do you feel you can make, and so on? What is your vision?
You know, brother, every person that we come across that has been influenced by our ministry, they say the only thing that changed them was the gospel that we gave them and the message that we taught them. So for us, it's called the Forbidden Peace Treaty. The Forbidden Peace Treaty, and this was coined by a Messianic friend of mine, Tom Borkowitz. He said, Pastor Curry, knowing Arabs that have been changed through your ministry, you are working on the Forbidden Peace Treaty, which is the gospel. It is the only hope. So for me, since Jerusalem is the most influential city in the world, since Jerusalem is the most sought-after city in the world, that means the attention, the mental, cognitive state of mind of the world we live in are focused on the city which you and I today spend the day and walk around having great food together. If that's the case, then wouldn't it be more sense to pour our hours, our money, our resources to spreading the gospel in Jerusalem? If it is that effective, that means we got to influence people here because their voices are worth 1,000 words. So that's what we're focusing on right now. And the answer is to get the gospel further out to the Arab community. For us, we will keep preaching the gospel. We want to train leaders. We want to disciple. That's our DNA. And to do that, we need to have our center in Jerusalem.
And I'll just say that this is an opportunity for American Christians to help. There's a great deal of love for Israel. What percentage of the Israeli population is actually Arab? You mentioned 300,000 in Jerusalem alone.
Well, Jerusalem surrounding villages, yeah. There's about 8 million people in Israel. And I think numbers are given around 1.5 million are Arabs, approximately.
And there is very little gospel witness.
Very little. Of the whole 8 million, maybe less than 0.20%. Not 0.20% are believers.
So here, in a way, is kind of like a beachhead.
It is.
And you started something. And I saw with my own eyes your ministry and heard the prayers and saw the fervency and saw the people worshiping in Arab with their hands raised and praying for each other and the music and the worship. You know, personally, I felt very at home. You know, I felt like the body of Christ. And here you are struggling to get a home, and here's a way that we could help. And what's the alternative? For somebody else to start from scratch? You know, so I would just encourage people to get involved. And we're going to write about this beyond the podcast. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to interview you, so we could do it during this two-month period that you're going to be in America, you know, telling your story, getting your story out. And on your website, people could actually find out where you're speaking. Is that correct?
Yes, yeah.
And if you're in an area where Stephen Curry is going to speak, I'd encourage you to go. I think you'll be very, very inspired. Your website would also have other materials about your ministry.
Yes,
that
sir.
Somebody could do their research and become familiar with some of the things even that I saw today.
Yes, yeah. There's videos, pictures, stats, information about our work. It just gives the heart of everything. We're a simple ministry that loves the Lord. We believe the message changes lives. We want to do the same for you, for your country, for your people.
Well, thank you for sharing. There's so much more that could be said. We could probably talk. And we have today been talking and talking and talking. And I just wanted to record this so that I could share with my listeners and readers back home, and of course what we do goes around the world, about this very important ministry and this very important need that you have. And we're just going to believe with you that this money is going to come in.
Amen. Thank you. We believe it too. God bless you, brother. Thank you for your love, Steve, and your heart for Israel, for the Arab believers, and for the body of Christ. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joyce Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.